Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Gimel and Aleph, seven lines down, with the story of Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi. Story similar to the previous two stories, in which a Chacham took a neder, and being that he is a Chacham, he did anticipate many of the outcomes, and therefore in the search for a Petach leNeder, they're not very successful, because all those circumstances, possible outcomes, he's already considered, and he took the neder despite that fact. And so now they're trying to find a petach leneder for him. So Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi, avale nidra the mishra, he had a neder, he wanted to be matir. Ata the kamayu de rabbonon, came before the rabbonon, amrlei, nadarta, daita the hachi, did you take the neder with this consideration in mind? Amrleho in, yes. Nadarta, daita the hachi, did you take the neder with this consideration in mind? Amrleho in, yes. Kama zimnin, kept going on and on, similar to the previous two cases. This launderer who was passing by noticed that he was causing distress for the Rabbonon who were attempting to find a Petach LeNeder for him, but he was causing them at least some discomfort, some distress. So he whacked him or hit him with the tool of the launderers. Seems it's some sort of bowl that has holes in it that they used in the laundering process, and he was carrying it, whether he was carrying it to his work or on his way back from his work, and he hits him, gives him a whack with the uchlo de katsre. Amar, adaita de machili katsra lo nadri. Says, I did not take the ned there with the consideration or the possibility that I would get hit by a launderer. It's obviously a demeaning type of thing to happen, and he says, I clearly did not have this in mind. Sharia the Nafshek, and he was Matir the Neder in a similar fashion to what we've seen in the previous two cases, in the case of Rabbi Shimon Berebi and Rav Schora, where in both of those instances they could not find a Petach the Neder, till the point by Rav Schora where Rav Nachman got upset, and by the case of Rabbi Shimon Berebi where the Rabbanon were distressed, moving back and forth from the sun to the shade and the shade to the sun. Similar over here, he didn't anticipate this type of outcome, and therefore this became the Petach LeNeder. Now, as we mentioned the other two cases, here the Gemara asks this straight out, Amalei Ravacha Medifti Ravina Hainoladu. This is something that he could not have anticipated. And if you cannot anticipate it, it's called Nolad. And Nolad is not a vehicle by which you can be Matir the Neder. The way the Raivad explains it is that the idea of the Petach LeNeder is that at the time of the Neder, I had information that had I anticipated that information, it would have made the neder into a neder shel ta'ot, would have made it into a mistake. Nolad is information that I get after the fact. If I get it after the fact, it was not available to me at the time of the neder, and therefore I can't call it a neder ta'ot, because it wasn't there, it wasn't available to me at the time. The Rambam formulates it slightly differently about the terms of the nolad, but the concept being that it has to be something that would have been anticipated. Delo, Masik Adate de Machle Katsra. There's no way that he could have anticipated that he's going to get hit by a launderer. Betanino, and we have a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, in Putchim lo benolad. You can't use something that was unanticipated to be a Petach LeNeder. Zamalei, Hai Lav Noladu. This is not classified as Nolad. The Shchiche Apikure de Mitzari. There are these individuals who cause the Rabbonon problems or difficulties. Tons of people come around and give their Rabbonon a hard time. So what makes that into not Nolad? It's a question of what is the status of this launderer. Is it that it's normal for people to bother their Rabbonon, and therefore there are guys like these, this launderer, that stand up for their Rabbonon and push them away or clean them away, make sure that they don't bother their Rabbonon, and that's what was Shechichei? Or this launderer was like one of the Apikure. He was one of those Apikurism that bothers their Rabbonon. So that it's not uncommon to get hit or to be bothered, and therefore when he did this to Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi, that wasn't something that he could not have anticipated, because many times there are these epikorsim that come around and cause difficulties or are not respectful of the Rabbanon, and therefore it is something that could have been anticipated, what we call something called nolad hamatsui, something that happens that is pretty common. And since it's pretty common, you would have the ability to anticipate such a manner versus what we call nolad she'eino matsui, which is not something that you would anticipate, something that's much more far-fetched in its nature. So that would be the way to explain the difference over here between Nolad of the Mishnah, where we say you do not, cannot use it for Petach Neder, because over there it's not a common occurrence, and therefore it was not a concept that you could have anticipated, or an outcome you could have anticipated, and therefore it's deemed Nolad, and you can't utilize it. On the other hand, something that happens on a frequent basis, even though maybe you wouldn't have anticipated it, but it happens on a frequent enough basis that you should have anticipated it. And therefore it does work as a Petach Neder. And similarly over here, the hitting of the Rabbanan or the bothering of the Rabbanan was not an unusual occurrence. He didn't take the nether with the anticipation that he'd be demeaned for taking the nether. That's number one. Number two is, it's not some new information because it's something that happens on a regular basis. So since it happens on a regular basis, he could have anticipated such a thing. And since he could have anticipated, we can call it a nether told. Debitu du Abaye, this is a great story. The wife of Abaye, Avalei Hai Brato, she had a daughter. Hu Amar Likrivai. He Amra the Kreva. He said she should marry my relatives. And she said she should marry my relatives. So they're fighting about whose family this daughter should marry. Just from the Lashon of the Gemara here, Hai Brato, that daughter makes it sound like it's not the common daughter to them, but rather a stepdaughter to Abaye. So it's not his blood daughter. Amra La, so he says to his wife, Tetzara Hanati Aleich, I will make it a surbana, that you will get no benefit from me. Avart adatai. If you violate my word, uminza badla de krevich, and you marry her off to your relatives. Sure enough, azalt, avart adate, she went ahead, violated his word, vinza badla kreva, and married her off to his relatives. The assumption being here that the daughter was old enough to make the decision on her own, and it was a question of convincing her in which direction to go, who had more sway. Could Abaye convince her to marry his relatives, or could the wife convince her to marry her relatives? And the wife succeeds at convincing her to marry her relatives. So now she's in violation of the nether that Abaye took, and she can't get an anoah from her husband. So Atab lekamed Rav Yosef, Abaye goes to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and relate. So Rav Yosef says back to him, Ilu aviyadat, davaret al dateich, had you known that she would not listen to you and violate the nether and marry off to her relatives, miadarta, would you have taken the nether? Amar lo, he says, I would never have taken the nether. Visharia Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef was matirit. So Rav Yosef is matirit based on the fact that he did not anticipate his wife violating the nether. So here, this is different than other ptachim that we have looked at. Other ptachim we have looked at are some sort of outside stimuli where we say, oh, we didn't anticipate this byproduct or outcome of the nether. Over here, the lack of anticipation was that the person would violate the nether. And that's why he's surprised. And that's what we're using as the petach the nether. And the Gemara says, Umishari ki ay gavno. Can you really be matir a nether in this manner? Because you're actually utilizing the nether itself or the violation of the nether itself as the petach the nether. The Gemara is now going to bring a braita of Hatanyo. We have a braita minichuta. Masebe dam echad, shedir et ishto me'alot d'regel. That he took a neder to be oser and ano, his wife, if she went up to the regel in Yerushalayim. Va'avral dato, va'alta l'regel. She violates his word and goes up to the regel. Va'alifnei Rabbi Yosi, and he came before Rabbi Yosi. Amalo, v'ilo aita yodea, shoveret al datach, va'ola l'regel, klum hedarto. Had you known that she would violate your word, go up to the regel anyway, would you have taken the nether? Amar lo, he says no. Ve'itiru Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi was mati the nether. So exact same scenario or case that we had before, where the petach the nether is coming out of the lack of anticipation that this person would violate the nether. So that's a couple of things to deal with first of all. One is Rabbi Yossi lives post Churban HaBayit. And here they're talking about a case of Aliyah regel, which seems to indicate that there was an Aliyah L'Regel, even post the Churban HaBayit. The Rosh describes here, Shayu mitkapsim lishmo drasha, that the Chachmei Yerushalayim used to get together and give a drasha inside of Yerushalayim. V'avanashim ayu no'ogot, mitzvah lavo shama v'lirot b'kvod HaShel Torah. And the women used to come, not necessarily to participate, but to see the Kvod HaTorah. It was a happening. It was something that people went to. And it was the equivalent of the Shabbat Ariglo that they had in Bavel, which was the Shabbat before the Regel. They used to make a drasha They used to give drashot about the upcoming holiday, and everybody would gather there. Shabbat HaGadol, Shabbat Shuvah, those types of special Shabbatot. So it seems to be something akin to that that they used to do in Yerushalayim. Whether it was prior to the regal, on the regal itself, but there was this practice that seemed to be extant, even post the Churban, for people to gather in Yerushalayim as part of that practice. So that's what we're talking about here, obviously, because Rabbi Yossi is post the Churban HaBayit. So that's number one. The second issue that we have to deal with is, in the end, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, based on these two scenarios, is that you really have what we call Nidrei Ziruzin. Just like in the previous Mishnah, when we talked about Nidrei Ziruzin, the two, the buyer and the seller, were taking a neder, anticipating that they were going to come to a middle ground between them. So they did not expect to uphold the neder. And so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that we have some sort of similar scenario where the individual, Abaye, only took the neder to try to engender a certain behavior in his wife. And so too, this individual took a neder to engender behavior in his wife, not to go up to Yerushalayim. Similar to the nidarim of the buyer and seller, where they're taking a neder to engender behavior in the other party. Just they're trying to get him to raise the price or lower the price, and that's why they're taking the neder. They're not taking the neder for the sake of the neder itself, they're taking the neder because they expect a certain response to the neder. So the Ran does raise some of the issues that you're saying, and said, why do you need a Atarat Chachamim over here? If it's really Nidrei Ziruzim, then it should be no different than the Nidrei Ziruzim in the Mishnah. And that means that Nidrei Ziruzim in the Mishnah, they fall away without Atarat Nidarim. That's the whole point, that they don't require Atarat Nidarim. So the Ran says that the difference between those cases is, in the case of the Mishnah, they already anticipated that they're not going to keep the neder. They're expecting that rotzim b'shlosha. They want to get to the middle ground. They want to get to the pshara. And they take the neder knowing that they're not going to uphold the neder because they're just trying to get to a middle ground. But as here, that is not exactly the case. Because over here, they just don't know what the outcome is going to be. They were anticipating that their wife would listen, but it's not in their control necessarily. It's not something that they're expecting to have to deal with. It's much more of a likelihood that the neder is a real neder, closer to being a real neder than it is to being a neder ziruzim. And so because of that, the Ran says over here we require hatarat nedarim, because the neder does take effect, and therefore now you have to unwind it. Whereas the nidrei ziruzim in the Mishnah do not require hatarat nedarim because of that anticipation in the beginning that the neder was not really a neder because I want to get to the middle ground. Over here, the neder is a neder because he expected her to listen, but not because he thought that the neder would be violated anyway. So because of that, it requires hatarat nedarim versus the neder in the Mishnah that does not require hatarat nedarim. The Ran over here launches into an issue about hatarat nedarim, something that he mentioned before. It happens to be a machloka between the Ramban and the Rambam about the requirement for hatarat nedarim. What do you need? We know that when it comes to Dine Mamononot, other areas of Halacha, Tarat Bechorot, that we require either Shlosh Hedyotot, you have three Hedyotot, or a Mumche, Yachid Mumche. So the Yachid Mumche, what is the status of that Yachid Mumche? So over here there's a machloket as to whether that Yachid Mumche, that is Matir Neder, like we see Rabbi Yossi was Matir Neder, we saw that Rabbi Yosef is Matir Neder, here you have individuals being Matirim, Nidarim, do they require smicha or do they not require smicha? Is Yachid Mumche just a Talmud Chacham, and that's sufficient for Atarat Nedarim? Or do you require a full-fledged smicha to be deemed a Mumche? And that also will be mashpia on what you think the Shlosh Hedyotot are, the three Hedyotot. If you think that you require smicha for the Yachid Mumche, that means that the Shlosh Hedyotot also have to include a Chacham. They also have to include someone who is not necessarily Musmach, but is a Chacham. On the other hand, if you think that Yachid Mumche is a Chacham, not Smicha, then the Shlosha Yotot are literally Shlosha Yotot that are required for the Atarat Nedarim. So the Ran discusses that over here, and he brings that the dot of the Ramban is that you do require Smicha, whereas the Rambam's position is that Chacham Uvchak Matir Tenedarim Delo Bai Samuch, that you don't need Smicha according to the Rambam, and he discusses why that is, or how to read the Gemara that deals with Yachid Mumche and Shlosha Hedyotot, but he brings it here, obviously, because we're talking about Atarat Nedarim, and we see here individuals being Matir neder. And today, the same thing would be true, that if you want to be matir neder, then we use today in our hatarat ha'neim, shlosha hejotot, we use three individuals. But if you're going to go to a yachin mumcheh, would that suffice? According to Rambam, yes. According to Ramban, it would not suffice, because you need smicha as well, not just a yachin mumcheh. He also notes that we only utilize shlosha hejotot in a place where there's no chacham. If there is a chacham, you should give kavod to the chacham in order to be matir the neder. That shlosha hejotot is a secondary or bidiavad methodology to use. The better methodology is to go to the chacham. But in a place where there is no chacham, or the chacham can't do it, then shlosha hejotot is the next best thing. But not that you should go to shlosha hejotot the chatchila. All right. Next mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Similarly, an individual who wants to be Madira's friend, take a neder too, and compel his friend to come eat by him. Yomar, now here whether the word lo or not appears in the Mishnah, the Bach takes it out of the Girsa. From the Gemara, some of the Rishonim are dayak that it was there, or it was if it was there. Called neder shani atid lidor hu batel. Any neder that I'm going to take in the future is batel. Uvavad she zachor b'shata neder. As long as he remembers it, the time that he takes the neder, that he made such a condition, that the condition is that at the time of the neder, he remembers that any neder I'm going to take will be batel. So now the Gemara asks the question, V'kevan damar kol neder shani atid lidor yeh batel lo shamale v'lo ata ba'adei. If he makes such a condition up front, that any neder that I will make will be batel, then the individual, if he's trying to use a neder to compel his friend to eat by him, the friend's not going to listen to him, because he knows ahead of time that it's batel and that it's useless. Whether that's because, now there are a number of ways to read this, whether that's because he made the tnai, and we'll see in a second, proximate to the neder itself, and therefore the guy knows about it, or whether because he's making this declaration ahead of time, so he's making a public declaration about it, and therefore that's the problem, or if you have the girsa, you amar lo, that he tells him. If that's the girsa in the Mishnah, that means that he's telling the guy, any neder I make in the future is batel. And then he goes in and afterwards and tells him, oh, you know what? I'm taking a neder that you're usher by now if you don't come and eat midday. The guy knows already. You already told him that you have this tnai, this condition built in. So what type of effect does it have? The other end, Daran focuses on the word af over here, which is afa rotze ladir et chaviro. Also someone who wants to be madir et chaviro. So therefore, what this Mishnah has to do with our previous Mishnah, talking about Nidrei Ziruzim. Why is this Nidrei Ziruzim over here? What's the connection? So the Ran says over here, it's because of the word Af. Af arotze mashma, da nami mishum Nidrei Ziruzim mutar, velo mishum tnai sheitna. So what the Gemara is anticipating at this point is that it's not a tnai or a condition that is freeing him from the nether, but rather it's the fact that it's Nidrei Ziruzim that is freeing him from the nether. So the Gemara over here doesn't worry about this whole thing that he says that nidarim are not going to be real nidarim. Basically, he's calling it a nidrei ziruzim. By saying that, he's saying, I'm just using the nether to try to compel the guy. That's the equivalent of a nidrei ziruzim. Well, but if you do that and you tell him it's a nidrei ziruzim, then you lose the effect of it being a nidrei ziruzim, because you're not going to compel the guy to come. So Gemara says, Afsurei mechsera, that the Mishnah is missing some words. V'achitani, this is what it meant. And then the person's refusing to come, umadiro, and then he takes a neder, basically to compel him to come, nidrei ziruzimhu. So now that's how the Gemara deals with this, which is, the connection to the previous Mishnah is a blanket statement that anytime you're trying to invite someone and push them to come over, and in the end they're refusing to come, and you say, I'm going to take a neder, that you're asur by now if you don't come, that is the equivalent of a nidrei ziruzim. Because you're trying to compel or engender behavior in the other party. You're only taking the neder to do that. And you're not really trying to have the neder come into effect. You're just trying to keep the party. Now again, in this case, you would have to argue that sometimes people really mean it. Because that's the only way that it will compel. If everybody knows that it's not really a neder, then it won't compel them anymore. So some people are makbid, and they will keep the neder, and they will force you not to get enough. But there are a lot of people that do this just to compel the person. Therefore, it has the same status as a nidrei ziruzim. Then we have a secondary part of the Mishnah, which is, harotzeh shelo yitkaimu nidarav kol hashana, a person who doesn't want his nidarim to take effect all year, yamod b'rosh hashana, he should stand in Rosh Hashanah and say, ve'omar, kol neder shani atid lidor yehei batel, that any neder that I'm going to take in the future is batel. Now, Rosh Hashanah is nothing in particular. It happens to be at the beginning of the year. You can do this any time during the year and make such a declaration. It happens to be before Rosh Hashanah, then it's something where you would usually have the whole year in mind. It's the beginning of the year. So that's nothing special about Rosh Hashanah necessarily. We'll see in a second, maybe there is. But just because you're saying it, that's the Gemara says, that's a good time to say it. So he says that for the entire year, any neder that I will take will be batel. That works. Ubavaji zachor b'shata neder. As long as you remember it at the time of the neder. Gemara says, izachor akre litnaye. If he remembers that he made that condition, and despite that fact, he goes ahead and takes the neder, then what he basically did was dismiss the tnai, vikayim leila nedre, and he is upholding his neder in the face of that realm, overrides the tnai. Now this is a machloket rishonim as to how this works over here. Taran says basically, dvarim shbalev inam dvarim. So at the time that he remembers the tnai, it's in his lave. He has articulating the neder. It's clear that the articulation of the neder overrides what he has in his heart about the tnai that he made before. And therefore he's overriding the tnai, and that's it. This is the halacha, it's this way. The Rashba, on the other hand, says that akre le tnaye v'kayame le nedre is dafka ba'ama aretz. The truth is it works. That it does work. And this tnai would work and it would stop you. But for an ama aretz, we're not going to let it work. Because then the Amei Aretz are going to again take Nidarim lightly, because they're just going to say, ah, I had that Tanai, and therefore I don't have to worry about it, I just take Nidarim willy-nilly. So therefore this is a preventative measure to protect against the Amei Aretz taking advantage of this mechanism. But he says, truthfully, it would have worked. The Gemara is only asking here, for a Talmud Chacham, it would be fine. Even if you remember the Tanai, it would not be overridden by the Neder. It would be subject to the Tanai. But for Amei Aretz, who maybe dismiss the Tanai, or don't know how to utilize the Tanai properly, over there we worry about it, and that's the way the Rashba concludes. But the Ran says, Mikar Din, it does override, because it's articulation versus Devarim Shebelev, and the articulation wins in that case. Or you really can think about the mindset. Anybody who remembers the tnai and takes the nether is basically saying afal pikein, which is when I take the nether and I remember the tnai and I continue to take the nether, that says that despite that tnai, I'm overriding it, right? So that's what the Ran and others suggest over here. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye's answer to the problem is tnai. Reread the Mishnah to say this: uvivad shalulo yehei zachor b'shat nether. As long as he does not remember it at the time of the nether. So again, for the Ran and others that follow that position, that would mean Me'ikar Adin. Me'ikar Adin, he cannot remember the neder because then he's not overriding it. He's still subject to the Tanai because he had one statement and another statement, and the first statement will rule or override because he made it first. And therefore that will govern in this case. Or you can say that since he didn't have the Tanai in mind, he can't just say, I overrode the Tanai. Rav Amar, La'olam kidaminan bi'ikara. That it's like we said originally. Both the Balei HaTosafot and the Ran over here suggest that Rava is not coming to argue on Abaye. He's not necessarily arguing on Abaye. He just doesn't like what Abaye did in the Mishnah. He says the Mishnah doesn't say what Abaye is saying. So therefore, he rejects Abaye not because he halachically disagrees with Abaye, but he rejects Abaye because Abaye doesn't fit into the language of the Mishnah. Obviously, that has huge implications for halacha, which is, do we accept Abaye's position in halacha or not? The way that the Ran and the Balei HaTosafot are reading it, the answer is yes. We do accept the position of Abaye. It's just that Rava doesn't think that's a good explanation of our Mishnah. But that means that Rava, halacha, also accepts Abaye's position, which is that if you don't remember the Tanai at the Shat HaNeder, it covers you, it takes care of you. Rava Amar, Lolam Kedamrina Mi'ikara. It's like we said originally. So what's the situation here? If he remembered the Tanai, why isn't he overriding the Tanai when he makes the neder? On Rosh Hashanah he made a condition. And he doesn't remember what the condition was. And now he's taking a neder. If he remembers at the time of neder, then if he takes the neder, his neder has no effect. So he doesn't remember the condition, he doesn't remember what he said about Rosh Hashanah, but he does remember that he did say something. Now whether it was about this particular neder, or it was a more generic statement, he remembers that he made some sort of condition. And what he says is, At this point, I'm taking the neder premised on that original condition. Lo amar al dat rishona, if he does not incorporate within his neder a mention of this original tnai, then ani noder akrei l'tnaye. Then he undermines the original condition, v'kayem l'nedrei, and he upholds his neder. So now we have actually two different halachot that come out of here. Again, assuming that Rava is not arguing an abaye, it all depends on but the nature of the neder that you're taking and the tnai. In the case where you know that you took a tnai originally, and then you come along and you take a neder versus that tnai, the neder overrides the tnai, and basically says that the tnai is null and void because I knew about it, and I still took the neder in the face of that, and I'm overriding it. So that would be Abaye's position, and Rava would agree with that. That if you knew what the tnai was, and then you overrode it, then you're right. It doesn't work. The tnai is null and void. On the other hand, if you forgot about it, takes the neder, then the tnai will govern. On the other hand, Rava's statement is, if I remember there's a tnai, but I don't remember the content of the tnai. So if you incorporate that condition into your neder, then that tnai will govern. Because you remember the tnai, and you incorporated it within your neder, and therefore it'll govern over here, because you're incorporating it within your neder, even though you don't remember exactly what the tnai is, and the tnai might undermine your neder. But if you remember there was some condition, you don't remember what it was, and then you don't incorporate it in your neder, then the tnai does no effect here, because you knew about it. The fact that you didn't incorporate it means that you're pushing it aside. So there you have three different halachot that derive from dispositions of Abaye and Rava, assuming that Rava doesn't reject Abaye's position, again, which is the position of the Balei HaTosafot and the Ran over here. Then, Rav Huna Bar Chanina suffered the Midrashei Bepirka. He wanted to get up in a public forum and be doresh the fact that you're allowed to do this, that you're allowed to put in this condition up front. Amrei Rava, Tanaka Mistam La Stumei, Kadesh Lo Yinagu Kalut Rosh B'Nidarim. Our Tan of our Mishnah did this in a manner which was in a less than clear manner in the Mishnah. The fact that we have to come up with the Chusurei Mechsera to try to figure out what he meant in the Mishnah. And Va'ad Darash La Bepirka, now you want to make it into a public issue? The Tan of the Mishnah wrote it in a ambiguous, unclear way so that it wouldn't be so obvious that you can utilize this methodology. And now you want to go make it into a public vehicle for people to get out of Nidarim. We're trying to prevent Kalut Rosh B'Nidarim, and instead you're encouraging Kalut Rosh B'Nidarim. All right, now, on this point in the Gemara, comes up the very famous issue of Kol Nidre, which is raised by the Rishonim over here, which seems to be premised on our Gemara over here. The idea being that you can make some sort of declaration at the beginning of the year that will have some sort of impact on the year itself. Now, the question is, because of the language of Kol Nidre, the language of Kol Nidre is written in the past tense, which means that it seemingly is dealing with things that have happened, not about things that you anticipate in the future that will happen in the future. Therefore, if you look in the Rosh says over here with regards to our daf, that first of all, he says that Rosh Hashanah is not in particular. He says, V'adin, b'chol eichir tzeh, b'chol zman shikva. He can do this at any time he wants or any time of the year. It's not particular to Rosh Hashanah. The Balei HaTosafot, later on we'll explain when we'll look in the Balei HaTosafot, that it was just a time when everybody was around. That they did it at a time where everybody was gathered together, so you get the maximum benefit from that. Not only was it maximum benefit to do it on Rosh Hashanah, but doing it on Yom Kippurim was even better because more people are in shul. Similar to today, more people are in shul on Yom Kippur than they are in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, there was even more value to doing the Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur, which is that he covered everybody then. And that's why they did it on Erev Yom Kippurim, or going into Yom Kippur, rather than on Rosh Hashanah, which would have been what the Gemara suggested over here. Tosafot brings the other angle, which is that in Sefer Yechezkel, Yom Kippurim is called Rosh Hashanah there because it was a year of the Yovel. So we see sometimes Yom Kippur is called Rosh Hashanah. I guess that's just a way to make it more palatable in terms of the word Rosh Hashanah. But because of that, the practice of saying Kol Nidre came out on Yom Kippur, mostly because that's when everybody was in shul. Then the Rosh says what we said before, the Rova itle shapir hachto Abaye. That Rova agrees with Abaye's position. He's not arguing on Abaye's position, but he's simply trying to fit it into the Mishnah. The lekka taima de lifluge beha el shenidchak Rova lekayim lashona Mishnah. He was just pressured to get the Lashon into the Mishnah, but he really agrees with him. Aval. Imaya Zachura call, Afilo Maral Data Rishonani Oseb Batle Litnae, Vikayame Lenadre. Kidrav Su Dream Zed Zed. Timur wrote said that Kayim Tanao, Lamo no der. Hilka Haslinim Darim Lechachmir, or Medina and Shinidro Ikar. So he says what we suggested before, that it overrides the Tanai. If you know the Tanai and you take the Neder despite knowing that Tanai, then it overrides even according to Rava. And it only works for Rava when you forget what the Tanai is and incorporating it by reference. But if you don't incorporate it by reference, but you know what the condition is, then you have two statements that are in contradiction. And we're going to go with your second statement because that turns out to be Machmir and forces you into a Neder. Until now, the Rosh seems very similar to what we said in the Balei Tosfot and the Ran, that Abaye and Rava agree and that you can set up such a mechanism. Then, in the time of the Gonim, there was a heavy dismissal of the practice of saying Kol Nidre. And that actually, in the places like Rav Haigon, they did not say Kol Nidre on the night of Yom HaKippurim. And this is in line with the position that we saw yesterday in the sheet of Rav Haigon, that at the time of the Gonim, they stopped being Matir Nidarim and Matir Shvod for people because of this problem of Kalut Rosh. The problem that people were just willy-nilly taking the Darim, knowing that they could get out of them through a Atrat Nidarim. And as we mentioned yesterday, the Gonim basically start to close down that practice of Atrat Nidarim in order to cause the people to stop being Noder and stop taking Shvuot, because now they were stuck. Once they took the Neder, once they took the Shvua, they would actually have to uphold the Neder, uphold the Shvua. And so because of that, they took away that vehicle. And taking away that vehicle, they also believed that Kol Nidre was not a good vehicle to use on Yom Kippur, where you're going to be matir all the people's Nidarim, which seems to indicate that the Kol Nidre was used as a Hatarat Nidarim, as a way to be matir Neder in the past. And that's why the Geonim were against the practice of saying Kol Nidre at the beginning of Yom Kippur, because they did not believe, or they were trying to shut down that window of Hatarat Nidarim. And Kol Nidre didn't necessarily fit into that picture. So then the Rosh claims that the practice of Kol Nidre was exactly for that reason. The whole reason of Kol Nidre is to be Matir Neder. Now we have a problem, or a number of issues, with the terms of it being Matir Neder. One is that when you're Matir Neder, you need to be Mufarit the Neder. You have to detail the Neder and then find the Petach for each Neder. Over here, you're using a very generic vehicle in order to be Matir Neder. That's number one. Number two is, when you're Matir Neder, you need three Dayanim to be there, three Adjetot, or somebody to sit in the Beit Din. Over here, where is that Beit Din? Where are the three people that are involved in terms of the Kol Nidre? Now, some of that is solved by the practice today. We have actually three people stand up at the Bima, not just the Chazan. But one of his proofs to the fact that it is Hatarat Nidarim is the fact that we say it three times. In fact, that we repeat it three times, similar to what we do by Hatarat Nidarim. Well, after you ask for Hatarat Nidarim, the Chacham says, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. That is repeating it three times. And Kol Nidre is functioning the same way, which is it's being Matir the Nidarim. That's why you repeat it three times. And so for that reason, they believe there was actually Matir Neder. They claim that the way that it worked was that since everybody says it along with the Chazan in the Kahal, then the Kahal itself, every three people become a sense a Beit Din for another person, because everybody's saying it together. And therefore, there are plenty of Batei Dinim in that sense of Hedyotot in the Kahal. And that's how it functions as a Matir Neder. In terms of Pirut, there's some that believe, like we do today, which is, well, since we can't remember them, therefore it works as a more generic Hatarat Nidarim. But others suggest that it works as a Hatarat Nidarim for Shvuot and Nidarim or Charamim that were placed by the Kahal. These are things that were put in place by the community against individuals. Since they were put in place against individuals, therefore they required Hatarah. And Hatarah is for these more congregational types of Nidarim and Shvuot, and that's what they were being matir at Kol Nidre. That is the position of those Rishonim. And according to those Rishonim, they believe that number one, Kol Nidre is talking about the past, and therefore the Lashon of Kol Nidre, which is actually in the past tense, makes sense. And the language that we find in Kol Nidre, which is Miyom Kippurim She'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Azeh. That Lashon would make sense because we're talking about the previous year, not about the upcoming year. And based on that, they say that the purpose of Kol Nidrei Hatorat Nedarim, and that's why we follow it by the Pasuk of Nislach Tochol Adat Bnei Israel. Why do we say you need Slicha and Kapara after Hatorat Nedarim? It's because you're taking Hatorat Nedarim and now you're asking for forgiveness for any violations of those Nedarim or any problems that were caused by those Nedarim. But before we go into Yom Kippur, you want to clean the slate. So how do we clean the slate? We wipe out all Nedarim, we do Hatorat Nedarim, and we then say, v'nislach, we ask for slicha mechila for anything that went wrong with those nidarim, or the fact that we need atarat nidarim. So that's the way that those Rishonim explain it. Balei Tosafot over here bring from the Rabbeinu Tam, but it's really Rabbeinu Tam's father, Rabbeinu Meir, that put this into place, or is the one who suggested this, that it's not possible that Kol Nidrei can be Matir Neder for the past. And again, for all the problems that we raised, first of all, how are you matir neder without a beit din there? Where is the piruta neder? All the things that are missing from atarat nedarim. And number two is, what is it sumech? So he says, and what the Rabbeinu Tam's father, Rabbeinu Meir, suggests, and Rabbeinu Tam was promoted this and therefore changed the nusach of the Kol Nidrei in the liturgy based on this, is that it's premised on our Gemara. And that it's actually a decoration for the future that all nidarim that I take in the upcoming year will not be valid. It's putting a tnai in place before the year starts in order to prevent any nidarim from taking effect in the upcoming year. And therefore, the language, he says, first of all, you have to change the language from using a language that is avar, that is a past tense language, to a language that is at least a future tense. Here, the Balei HaTosafot speak about the fact that maybe you can use wording that is ambiguous, which sometimes has a meaning for the past and sometimes has a meaning for the future, and that would suffice because we'll just interpret it to mean to the future. But the biggest alteration, besides the diktuk alteration that he makes in the Kol Nidrei, is that you should say, Miyom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippurim Aba Aleinu Litova. So he changes the lashon in the liturgy to read not from last Yom Kippur until this Yom Kippur, but from this Yom Kippur until next Yom Kippur, this tnai should be in place. That this tnai should be effective based on what we said here. Therefore, if he takes a neder during the year and he doesn't remember the tnai, according to the way that we pass with the baye, if he doesn't remember the tnai governs over here because it preceded his statement of the neder, and therefore it blocks any nedarim from taking effect. Now, what about the problem that the Gaonim had, as well as that they're going to be Mekel Rosh bin Nedarim then, or the fact that we don't Doresh in public? We just saw here, Ravuna Bar Chinina, Sarah the Midrash Shei Bepirka. He wanted to make it into a public issue, and they said to him, don't do it. Don't make it a public issue. We don't want people knowing about this. So it seems to be, and as I mentioned yesterday, that there was a change in the dynamic. Again, in the time of the Gaonim, and probably before that, they're dealing with a plague of Nedarim, that Nedarim had become so wholesale and so problematic that they're trying to shut down that vehicle. The Gaonim, by taking away a lot of the Hatorat Nedarim and the Hatorat Shavuot, basically do a good job over a transitional period of shutting down Nedarim. That by the time of the Rishonim, it's not something which is so prevalent. It's become much less prevalent, and therefore being Doresh in public is not going to cause people to be Mekel Rosh in the Nedarim and Shavuot, because it's basically become a non-institution. It's something that people don't do anymore. It's very unlikely or less likely to happen. Similar to today, where people don't take Nedarim or Shavuot necessarily intentionally because we're afraid of them. And that fear prevents us from taking them, independent of this. And therefore, since we already got to that point, putting this vehicle in place that will undo Nedarim in the future will not become a problem in terms of causing people to take more Nedarim. It's just more of a preventative measure. If somebody by chance takes a neder, that will help us to unwind the neder based on that tnai. But of course, that makes a big difference in terms of what you think Kol Nidrei is doing. In addition to that, the Balei HaTosafot ask on themselves, based on this Rabbeinu Tam Shita, how do we say Kol Nidrei in public? So one of them is, he says, it's only a problem for the Amei Aretz, which is not prevalent today. But he also says, Ocheyu Dorshim Lelo Azot Belaz, Ba'alte Lezuzule B'Nidorim. The problem was that when you went to the Pirka, they used to translate it into the vernacular at the time. So everybody understood it. But over here, when we say Kol Nidrei, we say it in Aramaic, where not everybody understands it. And therefore, it's not going to be a case where the Amei Aretz are going to take advantage of it, because they actually don't know that we're putting the Tanai in place. We're putting it in place, but they don't really understand or totally understand the Tanai being put in place, and that won't trigger or cause them to take additional Nidarim. Today, our practice in general is to follow the Rabbeinu Tam, which is to have the Lashon and the Kol Nidre be a future tense rather than a past tense. But there are Misorot in Kol Nidre that actually do both. There are some Sidurim that say, Miyom Kibirim Shavar Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh, Umiyom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Abaleinu Litova. And that include both of them. And that way you can capture both Nischot, both the Shita of the Rishonim that believe that it's Atarat Nidarim, as well as the Shita of those Rishonim, like the Rabbeinu Tam, will think that it's a Tanai, a condition put in place for the future to prevent the Nidarim taking hold, because you have this condition in place, similar to what our Gemara did over here. Tosafot mentions that in the places where they thought it was Atarat Nidarim in the past, they used to accept from the language, Chutz mitakanot ki'ilot u'shvot beitin. They used to exclude from this the Hatorah of a Shvuah that you took a Beit Din, or a Takana of the Kahal, because then otherwise it would have no effect. You leave those out because you don't want people then utilizing this as a way to lie in Beit Din and so on and so forth. So they used to leave them out. But if you're talking about something that's for the future, then you don't have to leave anything out, because the only reason that they did that was because they thought it was Matir Neder. But if it's a Tanai for the future, and therefore you do not need to make that exception in the language, because the purpose of Kol Nidre is only for things that it's no der bein ol bein atzmo. It's only for nidarim between a person and themselves. So that's actually a important distinction that Tosfos makes, that this only works when you're taking a neder between you and yourself. But if you're taking a neder or shvuah to your friend, Kol Nidre can't protect you in that case. Even if you make the condition up front that all my nidarim are meaningless, that's only when you're dealing with your own nether. You can't say that a nether that I'm going to make towards someone else, or for someone else, or appease someone else, which means that they make the nether and then you acquiesce to the nether, that you can't say is governed by Kol Nidre, or it's Tanai up front, because you're not doing al-datcha. It's not on your dat, it's al-dat the chavero. And al-dat chavero, you don't have a right then to invoke your condition in that. And therefore, Kol Nidre is limited to nidarim that beno the benat smo. And then he says, "Umashna gulomar achal kol nidre nislach tochol adat zeu lefareish kishiyador adam achar mikain v'lo yizkor letznai." If he takes a nether and he doesn't remember the tznai, shall be told kol nidre v'yavor al nidro, and he violates his nether, harizet zarich kaparav slicha, he needs kaparav slicha. So even though his nether does not take effect because of this condition, if he violates the nether, he still needs kaparav slicha. That is because, similar to the hafarat nedarim of the baal. We'll see that later on in the Masechta, that if a woman takes a nether and her father or her husband is made for the nether, but she does not know that they nullify the nether, and she violates the nether, she's held accountable for that violation, even though at the time that she violated it, the nether was no longer in effect because the husband or the father nullified it. But because in her mind it was still in effect, then it is a violation of the nether. And he says the same thing here. Even though in the end, when we remember that we have this condition that protects us, nevertheless, the violation of the nether, when you didn't remember you had this tanai in place, is a sin, and therefore you need slicha and kapara, and that's why we say v'nislach l'chol adat b'nei Yisrael right after we say this tanai, because we still need kapara for those times that we didn't remember the tanai, violated the nether, and then remember the tanai afterwards. So that's the way that the Rabbeinu Tam explains this. Again, for both reasons, you would do atarat nedarim before Yom HaKippurim. Either because you want to clean the slate, and that's why you do Atarat Nedarim before Yom HaKippurim, because you want Slicha Mechila, and this is the time that, again, people would be most mitcharet all their Nedarim, because they're coming into Yom Kippur, and they really don't want to come in with any bad things on their slates, and therefore they really are mitcharet on the Nedarim, and therefore you can be Matan and Neder. Or from the Dino Tom's perspective, it's the time when their most people are found in Shul, and it's the beginning of the year when you want to establish this type of condition, it's the best time to establish such a condition. Now, hashkafically, why would you start Yom HaKippurim in either of these cases with such a technicality? Now, in a time period where Nidarim are very common and so on and so forth, maybe there it makes more sense because you're trying to clear the slates if you're being Matir Neder. If it's a Tanai for the future, why make that like the central start of Yom HaKippurim? The thing that brings you into Yom Kippur is Kol Nidre, which is a technical, very, very technical tefillah. It's not anything moving. I mean, aside from the tune, that everybody gets moved by the tune of Kol Nidre, but the wording itself and all is all just a technical way, either to be Matir Neder, or to prevent Nidarim in the future. And why would you begin Yom HaKippurim in such a manner? So Rav Soloveitchik and Al Tshuva explains that, hashkafically, taking the Kol Nidre is basically Hatarat Nidarim, not in the sense of real Hatarat Nidarim, of getting rid of your Neder, which it does might do also, but really Hatarat Nidarim is that we begin to release ourselves from our trivial pursuits in the world, things that have distracted us from our Avodat Hashem, and we refocus ourselves on being completely dedicated to God. And that's what Yom HaKippur is about, that we act like Malachim, we try to rededicate ourselves to Hashem and to Avodat Hashem, and we try to leave behind all the other commitments, quote-unquote, that we've made, commitments to other ideas or ideals that take us away from Avodat Hashem. And the Kol Nidre is a way to start Yom HaKippurim to release or free ourselves from these other distractions in order to focus here. It's a beautiful idea that Rav Soloveitchik always have in mind going into Yom HaKippurim to bring one into the focus of the day. I mentioned this earlier in the introduction to the Masechta. I said I would discuss it now, which is, I think that if you look out throughout the Masechta, when you look at Nidarim, and it's very clear that the Chachamim's push against it as well, is that Nidarim, or the 90% of Nidarim here, have to do with Ben Adam Lechaveiro. It's all about this fight against this individual, this person didn't do this for me, did this Neder. Nidarim really revolved around this concept of Ben Adam Lechaveiro, who wasn't nice to me, who didn't do what I wanted, I took a Neder to prevent this person, and therefore it's very, very much focused on Ben Adam Lechaveiro. And therefore, coming into Yom HaKippurim, there is a necessity not only to clear the slate with regards to Ben Adam Lemakom in our relationship with Hashem, but we also know that Yom HaKippurim is also a focus of day where we say in Musaf, it's Yom Ahava V'Re'ut, which we say in the Chazarat HaShatz in Musaf on Yom HaKippurim. We say that it's a day of love and brotherhood. It's a day where everyone comes together and there's a unity amongst Klal Yisrael on this day. But part of doing that is resolving the issues that are Ben Adam Lechaveiro. And that's why we're encouraged to ask Mechila and Slicha from our friends. That's why we say the Tfilat Zachav, the Rabbeinu Yonah, going into Yom HaKippurim to release all people that have wronged us or done something wrong to us. And I think that's really what Kol Nidre was about. When Nidarim really evolve around this issue of Ben Adam Lechaveiro, then saying Kol Nidre, being Matir the Nidarim, is a way for us to declare that we're leaving behind all these petty differences between us. We're leaving behind all of these things that have caused friction between us over the year, and we're trying to generate an achdut and a resolution to the problems of Ben Adam Lechaveiro, so that we can come into Yom HaKippurim and make it into a day of Yom Ahava V'Re'ut, a day where all of Klal Yisrael are unified in a singular entity. And therefore, I think that's why it's so important to start Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, is because of that concept of trying to resolve the issues of Ben Adam Lechaveiro so that a person can really attain the proper Slicha Mechila on Yom HaKippurim by resolving all of his differences with his neighbors and all his differences with other individuals. And therefore, we can enter into Yom Kippur in a state of mind that both is cleared, as Rav Soloveitchik said, from other pursuits or other distractions, but also something that is cleared from the normal pettiness that we have between each other, and we can then build a Ava V'Re'ut and an Achdut that is appropriate for Yom HaKippurim. Okay, we'll stop here, the second to last line on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Bet.